I saw your hips moving. I saw that. Good moves, too. Lee Morgan on trumpet leads the band with the Sidewinder. I'll tell you a little hint about that in a minute. Joe Henderson is on tenor sax. Billy Higgins is on drums. Barry Harris on piano, of course, and Bob Cranshaw on bass. This is from Lee Morgan's 1963 album of the same title. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and there's a reason that I played this tune. What could that reason be, you ask? You will soon find out. A sidewinder is a very stealthy snake. All snakes are stealthy, aren't they? But it pertains to the objective of today's program, and that is to sneak up on you and to ask you a question you're not expecting to be asked, nor are you expecting to answer. The reason is we've had enough already of this drama in Washington and Trump still thinking, you know, I'm going to run for 10 terms and I'll win all 10, and the craziness in Congress and what's going on in this country, one side fighting the other side, it is too much. We need a break. We need to decompress. And as I look at it, I'm not sure the topic today is going to decompress us, but it is a very important exercise that we should do, because it is about our awareness, which we take with us wherever we go. Whenever we go there, it's with us. So I figured, why not have some kind of exercise that takes this awareness out of the shadows, and that we reclaim it, we own it, and we say, I never thought about things this way before, but now that I have, I should pay more attention to it. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. The question is very simple, very direct. What is identity? Simple. What is identity? What do you understand it to be? All this year so far, it's everything. It's in every story. We've been hearing mentions of identity, identity politics, and how identity is framing issues in our everyday lives. But what is it? What is this thing called identity? You are going to answer that question today. Definitively, I hope, you're going to answer that question and tell us what this thing called identity is all about. Why is it so important in the United States? Why are we so consumed about this thing that we still don't understand? But we know it's important. But we haven't studied it. We haven't figured out what it's supposed to mean. How does it factor in our everyday lives? How does it affect the decisions that we make? What is this thing we call identity? Is it something we're born with? Is it something that we need? Is it something we must have? Something we can do without? What is this thing called identity? Why is it so important? Why is such a big thing being made of identity. What does identity have to do with my and your life? Please help us understand this concept, because more than I would dare say, most major countries today, the question of identity is central to life. It determines how you live, where you live, in some cases, in extreme cases, it even determines if you live. We have seen some references to that in the United States in recent years. How identity plays into that question as to whether you will live or not. People who don't know you decide it. As a mob, you can lose your life along with your identity. So it's a very serious matter. And therefore, we should try to understand what it is. Since we carry it with us, we're not aware that we do sometimes, but we do. So how did we get identity? What is it used for? What is its meaning in our lives? As a society, what role does it play? Yes, I told you it was going to be a sneaky program. But I would not have raised it if I felt you couldn't answer it. I feel very confident that you could answer this question and answer it authoritatively. Tell us what it is. Kind of move away, if you can, from what it isn't. You know, when you ask somebody, what is this? Well, it isn't that. That's not the answer. Tell us what it is. Be definitive. What is this thing called identity that permeates just about every aspect of our lives in the United States of America and in many countries around the world? What is it for? What does it provide? What does it make us beyond being human? What is it? All right, you're up at 888-874-4888. Let's get this question answered today. Let's see if you can be definitive in your answer. What is identity? Why is it so important in the United States? What do we do to get identity? Yes, I told you I was going to sneak up on you today. This is a sneaky program. Yeah. You thought you were going to listen to yet another political analysis show. No. We're asking you now to put your money where your mouth is here. What is this thing? Why is it so important in the United States? What does it do for us to have an identity? And how do we determine whether it's a good identity or a bad identity or not worth having? It's a big question. Mohammed from New York, you start us off today.
Good afternoon, Professor Lees, and good afternoon to all my classmates.
Thank you.
Was you going to say something?
No, I said thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your patience with me yesterday. I also appreciate that. Okay, identity is inner sameness. It's a set of principles by which one lives by and you can be identified by those particular principles that you live by. And it's called, we call it inner sameness. And that's how you're identified by, you act, and there's many different kind of identities that we establish as we run along. Just like the, I'm just gonna give you one example. Like people have a sexual identity also, right? And that is formed between the ages of 18 months and 5 years. And some people, when they go other than the sex that they are born with, they're not consciously aware of it until they reach adolescence. So okay. Identity, inner sameness, the principles one lives by.
So you're born with identity, is it?
You're born with a gender identity.
Physically. No, I didn't ask for a gender. I'm talking about any kind of identity. Are you born with it?
Yes, you can be born with an identity based on...
No, I didn't ask whether you can be. I asked whether you are. Are you born with identity?
Yes, it's many forms of identity.
Okay, yes. I don't disagree with that. But I want to know how then... do we reconcile what we do not yet know in terms of our identity and the identity automatically bestowed upon us because we live in this society?
Okay, I'll just to go into that a little bit. What you're born into, you know, how your parents might raise you or whoever your caregiver is, right? You might conform to that set of principles. Unknowingly, it could be not good, it could be not bad. But you don't know that coming up as a child and under their particular, I guess you could say, leadership or under their care. So based on your behavior and your beliefs, people identify you by that. You know, just like a person go to church every Sunday, believe in Jesus Christ, there is religious identity could be Christianity, just for example.
Yeah, but I know some really awful Christians. Is that an identity too?
Oh, it could be a bad or a good Christian, like the Americans, for example.
So it's the luck of the draw when you have this thing called identity. It is not preset. We just think it is. And we make it something. We are free to make it whatever it is we want to make it in terms of whether we are comfortable with this label or that label?
It can be changed also, Professor.
Okay, well, we'll see. I'm sure people will react to you today. Okay. Thank you, Gwen from New York. You're on the air. Hi, Gwen.
I think this is a sort of... you know, this is a really deep question. And so I think there's two things. I was really triggered to call you when you said, we're not doing a typical show on a political, forget the last, whatever you said, but it was about political thoughts and commentary. But actually, identity is all about your political thoughts. I, for many, many years, said, look, you know, there's nobody who's going to marry me that, or I wouldn't marry somebody that didn't have the same political identity as me. Now, my identity when I was born probably was based on the way I looked, okay? So Caucasian and, you know, blondish brown hair and green eyes, okay? That was me, just my physical identity. But as I grew up, I developed an identity, and your identity is very deep. It's very emotional. In a lot of cases, I don't think that my political beliefs would be where they were if not for my emotional reaction to the things I see. So I think politics and identity have a lot to do with each other. However, it's interesting when you see this thing called political identity, and many times it only addresses the physical way somebody looks. So in other words, if you see somebody that physically looks like you, go ahead and vote for them because everything else is going to fall in line. I can't think of anything further than the truth. I always tell people, close your eyes and listen to what the person is saying. So I think that identity is something that is nourished and developed by you as well as your parents. It changes during your life. And even right now, I find my own political identity changing or at least being challenged at this point, because I find myself kind of being lobbed into a group of people which I have nothing in common with politically. I am not a Republican. I don't have anything in common with them politically. But I hear there's a lot of people that also happen to be Republican that also don't want to take this vaccine. Now, it's not because of any politics. It's because of the things that I have researched and heard about. So now I'm kind of, you know, you're kind of being challenged in a new way. But I think that your identity is kind of always going to be two-pronged. There'll be your physical, just the nuts and bolts of what you look like, so as to identify you physically. But I think your brain is developed from your parents and how they raise you. And then as you go on your own and you realize more and more what you're attracted to in your life and the things that you're willing to have deep beliefs in, that has a lot to do with your identity. So you identify it. Now, the last thing I want to say about identity is it's super important in a capitalist country, because this country in capitalism, individualism is everything. And we don't think as a group, we think as individuals. So lobbed into individuality is your identity. So it is very important for many people in the United States to constantly be different, change their, you know, change how they look, change who they sound like, constantly trying to improve and be better, and often try to be better than the next guy, because in capitalism, it's a very competitive environment. So you constantly are trying to improve your identity because of the fact that this is a country that's based in individual mores and values, and that's pretty much different from how a socialistic country would be viewed.
So knowing this, that you are expected, or it is more than likely that you will change your identity, somehow it will be tinkered with based on what the outside world is looking to you as. Identity then is a thing that changes or can change, or you make changes to the identity based on what?
I think it's based on your path in life and what you're seeing, what you're viewing. In other words, let me just say this. When I was a little kid, I grew up in a, you know, really small town in Pennsylvania, very, very rural, upscale, very pretty. And then I landed in East Harlem. I've lived here my whole life. I've lived here longer than I ever lived in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. And my identity changed quite a bit because of the things that I witnessed around me. So my world became much bigger, much more expansive. I learned very, very much from being here. Then my identity changed again, because although I, you know, I thought, well, I'm sitting on top of all this knowledge, you know, my next identity was I married somebody who was African American. So now my family wasn't just white. My family was also African American. Now, I'm not African American, but my identity changed because it got even richer and deeper. There was more information included to help me in my life to become, I think, a more open and more educated and more tolerant person, and to remind me to keep, well, people, I think, that keep your brains open. It's really hard to keep your brain open, because I think your brain's natural way of wanting to be is just to, like, okay, we took this much in, let's close it up again, you know, for safety reasons. But the more you open your head up, right, the more you see, I just think the better quality of life you're going to have, even though, you know, you might be afraid to keep pulling your brain open and opening up. But I'm saying that my identity is not what it was when I went to Upper Marlin High School. It's just not. And it's a reaction to the things that I've seen in my life. So I think that, you know, and I think it can work the other way too. I think it can, you know, if somebody ends up getting put in jail when they're, you know, 14 years old or 17 years old, you bet their identity is going to change. It's going to really, really be affected by the environment they live in. And it's probably going to be very negative on them.
Okay, so summarize for us what your main points are about yourself and your own identity if you could do it in bullet form, what would you say your identity is and how did it come about?
I think that my identity is very, very based in my political beliefs. And I think that those political beliefs were very much brought on by my mother. My mother really, really enriched us quite a bit when we were younger. She was very involved in civil rights and lots of very, you know, left-wing things.
Summarize,
I think it comes first from your parents, right, and your family, and then I think the next part of your development is going to come in your 20s, and then as you get more education, and I think the longer you live, the more it's going to change, because I think identity changes as we get older too. We tend to get more conservative, we pull back on things, and we're even more grumpy. So I think that your identity. When I think of myself in my 20s, oh my God, are you serious? And now I am like, I'm telling you, in my 20s, I don't think I wanted to ever get married. Now I am like, I stand on the soapbox of being for marriage advocacy, because I love being married so much. So my world really, really changed, but it changed because of the experience I had. So my identity changed.
Okay. So are you happy with your newfound, having been changed, identity?
100%. I am so much happier that I got out of the box of Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. I don't hold any angst or any remorse against them. I just want to say that when I go home, I realize that many people who stayed and never left are still in that little box, and they never venture out. And so it's really difficult for me to communicate because they're too afraid.
Well, thank you so much. Very eye-opening.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Were you expecting to say these things today? Oh, she's gone. Brother David from Brooklyn, what
good
is the meaning of identity? How are you?
Yes, getting along well. As I look at your question, to me, this is what comes to my mind. We have different identities. We have some identities that relates to our physiology, such as male or female or other. And we have other identities. And these identities come to the point where we fit into groups anthropologically, and how we identify in the groups that we belong to. So identity, to a large extent, depends on how we are identified within the groups that we live in. So identity depends a lot on how we are identified in whatever groups we live in, wherever we live in the world. So
using
that's
that formula, though, let's say, using the formula you just articulated, what's your identity?
Well, in this society, anthropologically, I would be identified as an African American. I would be identified as a heterosexual male. I would be identified as a not quite a super senior resident, but as a senior. Upper senior, I would be identified as activist. I'd be identified as author, I would be identified as someone who has accomplished quite a few things. So it depends on the classification system in this society. So that's the way that I would be identified. So it depends on the society you live in, and that's part of the identity that you have. And I would say that most people have more than one identity, and that's essentially how I look at it.
But on your birth certificate, I'm sure it didn't say any of that. It said boy.
Yes, it said boy and the name of my parents and whatnot. That's one identity that I have. Those other things after that, they came into play. And all of those are different type of identities that people have. And, you know, I think that it essentially, other than those things like your physiology, it depends on whatever society you live in. And that is essentially what's going on, how you're looked at by other people, and that's a big part of how you get your identity. You know, the classification system.
How much of your identity did you give to yourself?
I gave a lot of my identity myself. You know, I gave the identity of, I feel, of being a very progressive person. I gave myself the identity of believing in justice and peace. I gave myself an identity of being a fighter for human rights. I gave to myself the ability or the identity of someone who doesn't take no for an answer. And I gave for myself the identity that I would be basically fighter for the rest of my life from the beginning when I understood more about what is going on in terms of living in this country and learning on my own rather than in school. So my identity is advocate of learning on one's own. You can't go to one of these schools and think you're going to learn about history. You got to do things on your own. So
do you believe that in all your years of recognizing these different compartments that make up Brother David, do you believe that you have been approved by the general society on these very counts? For example, you say you're a progressive. There are people who would say that's couldn't possibly be true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe that in general it would be approved. My identity would be approved by the masses of people here, especially in the United States, where we have a system of white supremacy racism. So I might get some pushback from most people, but I deal with it, and that hasn't stopped me from fighting it as I've gone along. So I just don't look for the possibility that my identity would be approved by all people. Mm-hmm. I think that's impossible in my case.
Well, thank you for this little lesson that you gave us today and that you shared with us. very, very useful, very valuable. Thank you so much. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much, Utrice. You threw it right in my wheelhouse today. This is this is an idea I've thought about for a long time. And I think your previous caller, David, has hit upon the correct view, and I suspect you have it as well. I'll try to approach this in a more sort of scientific way. Identity does not exist in nature. Animals don't self-identify. This is a human undertaking. There are no two events that are identical. Every atom and molecule and organism, personality, society, are what physics calls emergence. They don't have a singular identity. They're connected in various ways, and you can take these connections and form systems with them. But the identity itself doesn't exist. It's a formulation, mostly in our case, I think in the sense we discuss it, a political formulation. The problem is always, as general semanticists will tell you, the problem is the whole concept of what they call verbs of being: is, and, are, am. I am a radio host. Well, that's one thing that you do. But you do a billion other things that could also have labels on them. Labels automatically limit what you're describing. It's a kind of a really inadequate shorthand. I'm sure you're familiar with the great Algerian intellectual and psychiatrist Frantz Fanon. Back in the 60s, he wrote The Wretched of the Earth. It was very influential. And he criticized at the time African intellectuals who were fascinated by Western ways, but they felt guilty. They thought they had to do something for their own culture and started wearing traditional clothes and, you know, reviving old customs. And Fanon said, look, the desire to attach yourself to a tradition or an identity or an old abandoned tradition means going against the current of history of what's happening now. And he said, in fact, it also opposes the people you want to inform by limiting them to this concept. So identity is a formulation. It's not even a concept. It's just a political formulation that people use to, it's a categorization that you throw people into, but it doesn't have any objective reality that anybody can demonstrate.
So keeping this in mind, thank you for that little scenic tour, but keeping it in mind, how have you evolved, even knowing this? In terms of a concept of yourself, and in that context, in the larger society, how do you see yourself functioning within a larger society with this notion of yourself, this particular unique notion of yourself?
All things, you know, I'm a unique individual, and I try to be very.
So that's what you call yourself, unique. Okay.
Yeah, we're all unique, and so I try not to limit myself when I use a label for some shorthand reason. I recognize it as a shorthand. It's not something that I self-identify as. I am what I do. That's the way I see it. So I don't make global judgments about myself. You know, like what example can I give? You know, Hitler was not 100% bad. He loved his mother. You see, these kinds of categorization.
His mother was bad.
Absolutely, these kind of absolutes are useless. They don't tell us anything.
You didn't ask whether his mother was bad. He loved
his
mother.
We are not good or bad. We do good or bad things by our own. And, of course, what matters is your own view of them.
Okay.
If they're bad in your eyes, maybe you'll change them.
Let's talk about you in life right now.
Sure.
What is your notion of identity right now? How does it serve you or not serve you?
The probably the most accurate category I could come up with is human from Earth. That's about it. I mean, I try to live my life based on what kind of world I want to live in, not based on dogma that belongs to. I don't inherit ideas or groups of ideas and people's ideas and just join them. I try to think it through as much as possible. You know, there's a lot about any human being that's genetically determined. You only have so much control over what you can actually choose, but I try to consciously choose my belief system and act in accordance with it. I mean, the details I don't think would interest any sane person, but I mean, it's the approach that matters, I think.
Are you at peace with your identity?
Oh, yes. Yes, completely. I'm sort of an existentialist in that degree. I don't have a childish craving for certainty. I understand that a great part of life involves doubt and things that are not clear. I tend to see, I've trained myself really to see times of uncertainty as opportunities to learn. This means you have to take yourself out of whatever narrow categorizations and ways of thinking that you are currently stuck in. You have to break yourself out of your current biases and convictions and see things in a new way to solve the problem. I mean, I think the basis of what I try to do is creativity. If there's anything related to the use of the political concept identity, it's that. I'm looking for a functional way of living.
How confluent is your way of living and your way of thinking about identity, do you think? How confluent do you think it is with this society?
Oh, I've always been on the outside of it. I don't identify with any group or group of people in any way. I just don't. I mean, there are individual things that people are trying to do that I'm sympathetic to and may even invest a lot of energy in fighting for, but I'll try to do it in ways that I think are the most effective and still in accordance with my personal beliefs about not harming people if I can possibly avoid it. I mean, I make in that area, I make careful philosophical distinctions, strategic and tactical distinctions about that. I mean, to me, that's the purpose of my whole life. I'm trying to bring about certain conditions that everyone can enjoy. I mean, the basic rule I follow is the greatest good is human freedom, not corporate freedom or the powers of governments or groups, but individual human freedom, freedom to do live their lives as they wish. And the formula, the way it works, is I understand that I can't live the way I want to unless I ensure the freedom of others to do so. That's just how it works. That it's as close to a physical social law that I've ever come across.
All right.
So, you know, outside of that, that's the basic motivation of whatever politics I have or social views or anything like that. But I don't limit myself with categories that really don't have any objective meaning, like identity,
well,
or I'm a Republican
a because
or something.
I want other people to chime in.
Thank you
so much for your call today. Thank you. Very instructive. Very, very instructive indeed. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Yatrice. What was the gentleman's name you just got off the phone with?
That was Nathaniel, I think, was it? No.
Samuel, yeah. Well, there's one thing he said that there was a few things I kind of disagreed with him on when he said that about animals and they don't they don't identify themselves. Judge Judy, we don't know what's in somebody else's mind to say what somebody else, refers to. I just wanted to bring that point out.
I misspoke. It's Marcus. I'm sorry, from Wisconsin.
Yeah, Mark,
Noel
from Brooklyn
Association? No. Okay. Thank you.
So can I continue?
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. So I identify, and I'm just explaining this, Yatrice, for people who don't know, because my background, like you, was in broadcasting. The radio station you used to work for, WBAI, we have something at the top of the hour generally called a legal ID, and it would be WBAI New York. Now, that identifies who they are. You can know how high the antenna is. You know how the power output, et cetera. That's the way I kind of look at myself, almost like a license plate, like a legal ID. I know that I'm an African American in America. I'm identified by the amount of money I make, where I live, what kind of job I have, or what I don't have. So some of those identities are put on me whether I like it or not.
But what do you feel when we tend to call them expectations, other people's expectations of you? Do you ever feel conscious about that, that you have an obligation to keep that in mind as you move around in your daily life, that there are people who are looking at you with regard to how you measure up in their sight?
Absolutely. And Yatrice, I may be akin to you because my father was from Trinidad. He was an African Trinidadian, and he was from La Brea. And as we grew up, my dark-skinned father, who kind of looked like Uncle Ben's, right? He had that hair receding on the side. He would always say they always think that the Negro is stupid. And he always he said, you have to learn, and you have to, just like how you talk about your parents, I'm talking slightly about mine now. And he said, you have to learn because they think the Negro is stupid. And from that point, with Minister Farrakhan and listening to other people, it groomed me into being the better person that I can be.
Are you satisfied with the you have become, with the identity you have now?
I'm not satisfied. Very good question. I'm not satisfied in where I am as far as my job is concerned right now, but I am making a change. I'm going to be making a change over the summer about that. But the knowledge, wisdom, and all the other things that I've gotten from mentors like Gary Null and Malcolm X and others, yes, I'm very satisfied where I am mentally. I'm not satisfied where I am where I'm working.
How do you feel that, unknown to you, you're not aware of this, but through in your daily activities, there are people who are measuring you against a yardstick you know nothing about?
Well, it's an unfair yardstick, I think, for any person of color. And that even includes Asians, American, native to this country, Latino people. It's unfortunate that we're judged by an unfair yardstick, if that answered your question.
Okay. Do you believe that your identity now is fully formed, at least for a while still? You know, you can use it, whatever it is you put out there as your identity. Do you think it will last for a while?
I think like any other thing, Eutrice, that it's a continuing learning process. So I don't think I ever will reach that pinnacle, because it's like in mathematics, it's called, those who took mathematics, it's called an asymptote. It approaches but never touches. So I will never be able to reach that. I try and do better for myself, but that's where I am.
Who do you think you've influenced most so far in your life through your example and how you go about this idea of creating and cultivating your personal identity?
Once again, very good question. I think I influence people by my knowledge and the way I carry myself with respect, because I am a retired veteran from the United States Air Force, so I carry myself, even though I am retired, I still carry myself in what we call a military bearing. I think I've influenced other people because what I did in the Air Force, I was a medical person, and people sometimes ask me to go to the doctor with them, or they ask me to read reports from a doctor or et cetera. And people ask me questions about, hey, do you recommend me taking vitamin C with this or that and the other? So I'm very proud to say that many people look up to my knowledge, of course, many of it due to Gary Null and my own personal reading.
Mm-hmm. Are you safe, in a safe space with regard to your identity? Or is there something still undone that troubles you?
The only thing that's still undone is one of, you know, my goal that I'm working on now. And I believe once I reach that goal and some other goals, then I would be happier, because one of my joys, Eutrice, is helping other people who want to be helped. And I underline the word want to be helped, because all people may ask for help but don't want to be helped.
Well, thank you. Very nice talking with you today. And I'm glad for and grateful for your contribution today.
I'm sure you
got a lot of points across to people that they probably will ponder for some time. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Eutrice, how's it going?
Okay. How's by you?
All right. I'm going to take a shot at this. So, in regards to identity, I feel we have multiple identities based on what we were born in, what we were born with, what we were born into, and the choices that we make of who we want to identify with. And most people call it, you know, self-identifying. But I typically say that one of the things, and you know, there might be some more things, or I may be wrong, but the one thing that we are born with is a gender identity. So, you know, we could either be born male or female, and in some cases, very few, typically people can be born with two identities due to the biological structure of of somebody's makeup. But what we were born into is typically what many consider race or ethnicity, whereas it's not exactly biological in a sense of like gender, which is more absolute. But when we're talking about, black, white ethnicities, when we're talking about Hispanic, Irish, or, whatever, we were born into those identities. And then we have the ones where we choose to associate with freely when we're talking about religion, we're talking about politics, based off of how we are socialized in whatever society that, we were born into. Now, that could also tie into that category of being born into because of the fact that, if we're socialized a certain way, then obviously, we'll lean towards a certain political spectrum or even a particular religious spectrum. And then we're talking, and then also, too, I forgot about nationality. Sometimes we are born into certain nationalities based off of the area we were born in. But then also, too, as we get into adulthood, we can, change nationalities where we would. This is a more fluid identity in regards to, I could be born here in the United States, and 20 years from now, I can, be a citizen of China if I wanted to, or if I wanted to, go for that. But, so it's a identity. We have multiple identities based off of those different categories that I, expressed.
Which of these identities have you chosen as your principal identity?
Ooh, what have I chosen as my principal identity? Well, based off the social structure, I don't know if I chose, I didn't choose this, but I choose to identify with it, is being a black man, because of the fact that this social structure that I'm in is the system of white supremacy, which basically kind of, chose it for me due to the situation and circumstances that I live with as a black man. That I would say that's what, that would be my primary identification of choice.
Why does that seem to work better for you? Why is it more serviceable to you than any other identity that you could think of at this moment?
Well, because of the fact that I grew up with this is a going along with being socialized by my dad, who is also a proud black man. I grew up in a household where our racial identity within this structure is important because of the fact that there is a need for community, and the people that I have been grown up with and raised around, who have been mostly black males and females, there is a need for a community. And the only way we can structure that community is through that identity. And hopefully we can come to this realization that it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to agree on everything else. But as long as we agree that we're all black people, in this particular community, then that's the big start from square one. And then at that point, we can all move on forward from there. Like I said, not necessarily agreeing with everything, with all the other things, but just agreeing that we are all black people that is in a system of white supremacy that's always under constant threat, and we can all come with ideas and solutions to counter all of that.
Do you feel good about making that choice?
Yes. Even though it is a choice that comes with a hardship, it comes with a lot of pain, suffering, whether it be within my past, within my own personal past, within my family past, within my lineage past. But it's a struggle that needs to be had. And I think it's a divine struggle that I think me and everybody around me needs to have.
Well, I want to thank you. I want to thank you all. Such inspiring, very, very incredible answers today from a subject you didn't expect, and I certainly didn't expect to raise, but it was definitely worth it. Let's talk again tomorrow. Thanks for today. Bye-bye.